Okay, once again, ladies and gentlemen, turn your Bibles, Matthew chapter 25. Now I'm going to read a verse, and I'm going to read another place in the scriptures, and then I will teach and preach very briefly. Like I said, I want to round up on make your life count. Amen. Praise God. Amazing grace, how sweet the song that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Once blind, but now. Can we sing that seriously now with some effort? Amazing grace, how sweet the song that saved a wretch like me. I was lost, but now am found. Was blind, but now. Amazing grace. Let's sing one more time. Amazing grace, how sweet the song that saved a wretch like me. I was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I. Thank you. Praise God. All for God. All by God. For the kingdom of God is as a man traveling into a far country who called his own servant and delivered unto them his goods, and unto one he gave five, to another two, and to another one, to every man according to his several ability. And straightway took his journey. After a long time, the Lord of those servants cometh and reckoneth with them. And so he that received 5 talents came, brought other 5 talents. And he that received 2 talents came, and said, Lord, thou delivered unto me 2. I've gained 2 other. And his Lord said unto him, like he said to the one that had 5 talents, well done, good, faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things, I will make thee ruler of many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. Then he which had received the 1 talent came and said, Lord, I knew thee, that thou had an hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown, and gathering where thou hast not stewed. And I was afraid, and went and hid a talent in the heart, lo, there thou hast thy which is thine. And his Lord answered and said to him, thou wicked, slothful servant, thou knowest that I reap where I sow not, and gather where I have not stewed. Thou ought therefore to have put my money to exchangers, and then at my coming I shall receive my own with usury. Take therefore the talent from him, give unto him which are 10. For unto everyone that hath shall be given, and he shall have abundance. But from him that hath not shall be taken away even that which he hath. Okay, I want to read another place, Isaiah chapter 5, and then I begin to preach. Isaiah chapter 5. Now, will I sing to my word beloved, a song of my beloved touching his vineyard. My word beloved had a vineyard in a very fruitful hill, and he fenced it, gathered out the stones thereof, and planted it with the choicest vine, and built a tower in the midst of it, and also made a winepress therein. And he looked that he should bring forth grapes, and he brought forth white grapes. And now hold in the outskirts of Jerusalem, and men of Judah, judge, I pray thee, between me and my vineyard. What could have been done more to my vineyard, but I haven't done in it? Wherefore, when I look that he should bring forth grapes, brought he forth white grapes? And now go to, I will tell you what I will do to my vineyard. That we take away the hedge thereof, and it shall be heating up, and break down the wall thereof, and it shall be trodden down, and it will lay it waste. It shall not be pruned, nor digged, but there shall come out briars and thorns. I will also command the clouds that they rain no rain upon it. For the vineyard of the Lord of hosts is the house of Israel, and the men of Judah is pleasant plant. And they look for judgment, but behold oppression. For righteousness, but behold a cry. And so I want you to actually go download the message from last week, because I'll not be able to go over some of the points I shared last week. Like I said, I want to be prompt. You know, but you need to go and get that, and then you can link it to what I want to begin to say. But I know I rounded up last year by saying that one key thing that God desires of every believer is accountability. I'm sure you recall that. All of us, we give account of the gifts and the calling and the purpose of God. All. Whether you know it, whether you don't know it, whether you understand it or you don't, the truth of the matter is that all of us, one day, will be called to give an account. And we'll be tight. Anyone that will stand before God on the judgment day, and then you'll be like the last servant who was given a talent and went to bury it. Everybody, can I extend to say to you this morning that even people that are yet to know Jesus have talents given them. People that are yet to come to the knowledge of Christ have talents on the inside of them. And that's why I'm glad for people that are coming to know Jesus. And that's why I said the other time that the way life begins, and you can begin to put your talent to use, is when you come to the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's why I congratulate you, because you have an encounter with Jesus, and so your destiny can begin. The Bible is talking here in Isaiah chapter 5, God giving a semblance of a believer. And I want you to listen to me. The point I want to make this morning are critical, you know, to how your life will end. It's critical to how your relationship with God will end. The Bible is talking about a believer here. You know, it was talking about a vineyard. And I want you to see yourself as that vineyard, because say the vineyard is talking about the people of Israel. And so you are a person of Israel. And God was talking about a vineyard, and God talked about his input into that vineyard. He talked about his commitment to the vineyard. He talks about the things he did for the vineyard, and says after a while he went back, expected that he's going to reap, you know, from the vineyard. But it looks like the vineyard became unprofitable to the man that has invested in it. The vineyard became unprofitable, and God was upset, you know, because he thought, with all that I put in you, with all the seed I've sown, with all the care that I've given, I expected, you know, that I'm going to have a harvest. But no, I'm not going to have the harvest. So it looks that God investment is a misplaced investment. Isn't it? It looks that God commitment is a misplaced commitment. It looks like God should have invested in another vineyard. It looks like God should have, you know, have some input into another vineyard. Because what is done in this particular vineyard has not brought returns. Investment has not brought returns. Let's say to you that all our lives, every individual lives, God expects that return will come to him. God expects that we will yield. You know what I was saying when I was starting last week, that most of the time we all ask God, do this for me, do this for me, do this for me. Few of us actually ask God, God, what do you want me to do for you? There's a need in God's heart. Listen, there's a need in God's heart. Most of the time, you think that God is there to meet your own needs. We think that most of the time, God is there to answer your prayers. You think that most of the time, God is there to fix your own problems. But few people actually say, God, what is your own problem? God, what is your own challenge? I remember I said to you last week that, you see, we all have needs in church because people have left their post. You know, in Hanford, they said they left their baits. If everybody is keeping their baits, there won't be need in the church. Because everybody is a creation of destiny. Everybody is a creation of purpose. There's a reason in the heart of God for which you were created. There's nobody that was delivered as an accident. Even the people that were delivered, you know, after your man have done IUCD for you. It shows that God has desires, you know, when you were giving birth. It shows that there's a thought in the heart of God. That's what God said to Jeremiah. The day he gave birth to Jeremiah, he said, right from the womb, I have a purpose. And that's not about Jeremiah alone. That is about you as well. There's a purpose in the heart of God. Whether you are turning it, whether you are looking it, whether you are coming out to show that, it does not matter. But first thing that you must know is that I am a creation of purpose. And let me add to it, my purpose is unique. And that's why as a Christian, you don't need to envy any other Christian. You don't want to be like a Christian. You don't want to be like another Christian because you have a purpose and that purpose is unique. When the two of us, we have the same purpose, then one of us is an extra. God does not create an extra tire. You don't know that. God creates tire and it has to be functional. Why it looks that you are doing my thing, or it looks that I'm doing your thing, is because somebody is blind of the purpose or is blind of his call. And that's what's happening here. The Bible says that I've gifted you. I've graced you. But I want to see fruitfulness in you. But I'm seeing wickedness in you. Let me put it in a way that you begin to understand better. The air you breathe is an investment from God. The testimonies that you have is an investment from God. The safety that you have, the time there was an accident and you have people had injuries, some even lost their life, and you came out very good. It's not because you know how to pray. The guy that died was coming from mountaintop. But you were secure as an investment. You don't get that. Because sometimes we want to equate our lives with the things we've done as believers. It's good to pray. It's good to study God's word. It's good to come to church. But I want you to know that much more than what you've done is the fact that God is preserving you because of purpose. When you write exams and you pass, you haven't passed that exam for yourself. You don't get it. When you excel in life, you haven't excelled because of yourself. When you have money, you haven't had that money because of yourself. All the things that God has given you are the things that God is talking about in Isaiah chapter 5. He said, I pruned it. I took away stones from it. You know, that's when he has delivered you from one accident. You know, when he's pruning you, that's when he's giving you testimony. He's adding to your life. He's getting you to succeed. He's causing you to be lifted. He's brought some money into your pocket. He's brought some men into your pockets, into your way. Do you understand that? Those are the investments of God. You know, sometimes you make a mistake. We think that you have what you have today because you are smart. You know, when some people fail exam, the people that pass exam, they think they are smarter. You are not smarter. It's just the goodness of God is shown unto you. Some people are looking for a job. You have some jobs. You don't know that it's part of investment of God into your life. Nobody has picked you because you have a good CV. There are people with better CV they turn down at that interview. You don't know. You've forgotten. But all those things that come your way as a sign of God, you know, investing into the vineyard. It's investing into the vineyard. It's not about you. It's about him. Because he knows and he has some expectations concerning your life. You say, if I got this guy this job, my expectation is that I'll be able to preach, you know, in that office. God has looked into that setup and he found out that there's nobody that will be profitable to him
Oh, let me tell you the one that will make you fearful. You know, you look into that setup and you find out that one guy that is put there before that you expected to be profitable has become unprofitable. And God said, you know, I've given this man opportunity and he's gone there, he's chopping money. I've given you opportunity, he's gone there, he's doing whatever he likes. He said, let me give another person an opportunity into that same office. That's why you got the job. There's a need in the body. There's a need for finances. That's why you got the business. Some of you get business, you make a lot of money, and then you catwalk away from church. He said, we haven't seen you in church. He said, the business is very busy. You are going to lose it very soon. Because, listen, anyone that is an unprofitable servant, God is going to replace. Let me put it in a way that will not be confusing to you. The gift and the calling of God are without repentance. You can die with your gift and calling, but you become unprofitable. God will not take away the gift. God will not take away the calling, but God will raise somebody in your stead. That's what he's saying at Acts chapter 5. He said, I've given everything to this vineyard. I've shown all commitments. Before he prayed, I answered the prayer. Before he opened his mouth, you know, I answered. He needed a child. You know, I got him, you know, twins. He needed a job. I got him a job. He needed a car. I got him a car. He needs to change his job. I've changed the job for him. You know, he needs to expand his business. I've expanded the business. And God now says, after I've done all, let me get up and go into this person's life and then begin to have some harvest. That's what God, Jesus, said when he got to the fig tree. So fig tree should be producing. I'm hungry. This fig tree should be able to feed me. Church is looking. God is looking for something in the church. He's looking for something in your life. He's looking for something in your destiny. But it's come one time, you disappointed him. It's come second time, you disappointed him. It's come third time, you disappointed him. And God said, no, I'm going to abandon this vineyard. May God never abandon you in Jesus' name. You know what the Bible says? One of the abilities of God is the fact that he can raise stones. In other words, one of the abilities of God is to do the impossible. A Christian should make himself indispensable. Now, listen to this and get it balanced. A Christian must make himself indispensable, but there's no indispensable believer. I hope you got that. Position yourself so that when we don't see you, we miss you. But at the same time, you are not indispensable. In other words, don't get to a point. A believer should not get to a point in life that your gifts get into your head. A believer must not get to a point in time in life that you think that if you are not there, then nobody's there. I shall use it very well. Because that's what the Bible said. He said, come. And I found nothing. Let me give you some points as I begin to wind down. Number one, that we must all understand. The entry point, and I want the first time I'm here this morning to get this very well. The entry point, the qualification. You know that when you want to get to university, they will tell you, you must have 5 credits. You must write JAMB. The only thing is that, I don't know what JAMB is doing. JAMB will say, well, the cutoff mark is 98. The cutoff mark is 100. And that's why everybody entry one square, the other, jumpology, swimology, and you know, but in the days that we enter university, you want to read medicine, the cutoff mark is 300. And you have five credits. Even if you have cultural credits, you can't enter. Where you have some people having 9 A's? Impossible. Nine half A's. Do you understand? Do you understand that? So in other words, you have standard for every job, for every academics, for every movement forward. There are requirements that will separate the fake from the original. And so the entry requirement to the service of God is salvation. That's the first one I want you to get. The entry requirement, the basic qualification to serving the Lord, the basic qualification for God reckoning with your talent is salvation. God has no business with somebody that wants to come to church and you are not saved. You want to sing, you are not saved. You want to dance, you are not saved. You want to act, you are not saved. No! It's a waste. You'll be discovered one day, and what will happen to you in school, you will be excommunicated. I've seen somebody at 400 level, about to write final exams. They say, want to do validation of certificates. They find out that he came in with fake certificate. He was rusticated. 400 level. Listen to me, ladies and gentlemen. As you see it in this world, so also you see it in heaven. The Bible says that day somebody will come to him and say, God, you don't know that I'm M-M-O-G. In your name, you know, we raise the dead. In your name, we heal the sick. In your name, if I have 1,000 branches of my church, when I enter like this, even the lane will begin to walk, the dead will begin to hear. You know what God said? He said, Kwejo. He said, I know you not. Depart from me. You are workers. In other words, you've done all those things, but you don't have the entry qualification to do all those things. You don't have. The fact that you can sing does not mean that you have entry qualification. The fact that even you can preach does not mean that you have entry qualification. If you like sleep in church, it does not mean that you have entry qualification. There's something that brings you before God, and that's faith in Jesus Christ. That's faith in Jesus Christ. If you're not born again, you haven't started. If you're not born again, you can't stand. In fact, the Bible says that you will come to the Father in the name of Jesus Christ. The only way, the conduit, the traffic, the vehicle, you know, to the Father is not all, no other means. I was talking to somebody, they said, we serve the same God. You whether you are this, money alone will I just have a long canal because I say, I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. One said, I don't know the way. He said, Yakana budu wa yakana stahim. Yidiras rakatari mustakima. Olua ni afini mona. You if you are mona. And you can't hear one mona. Olo if you are mona. You can't hear mona. Owa lolo onkana lansi. Enter line. It's when you make the people feel good. Now say, Olo onkana lansi. Olo onkana. I'm serving a living God. And I know that is true. For you to be able to get to that living God, you get to him through Jesus Christ, his only son. Some people say that could be my Lord, be, and you say you are serving the same God. And somebody say, come to God through his son. You can say that in a circular gathering where you want to make yourself feel good. But when you are talking about Jesus, I will slap your mouth the next time you say that. The entry to God is Jesus. There's no other way. And you are still seated here. You, even though you gave your life to Christ probably on Friday, Saturday, or, you know, when we had dinner on Sunday, but, you know, you are not sure. You can do the same again today. You can do the same again today. Because you must be sure, ladies and gentlemen. You must be sure. It's not subject to conversation with your friend, you know, even with your enemy. It's your conversation with your soul. Ask yourself, When the owner of my life will come today, will I be ready? The second point I want to make very quickly is that we are running a lease. You are not the owner of your life. Say to your partner, you are not the owner of your life. You're on a lease. Your life is on a lease. And you better get that. Do you know that if you are living in a rented apartment, you paid for a year? Even if you are living in a rented apartment and say, I want to lease this place for 5 years, even if you lease the place for 10 years, is the document going to change to your name? This life that you have is a lease. Ladies and gentlemen, look at me very well. Because the owner of the life is coming to require for your life very soon. He's going to ask for accountability. Now, some people just say, it's my life. You know, nobody should ask me. I say, look at fools. What is your life? Use common sense. Use common sense. If it is your life, can anybody raise his hand now and say, I'm sure that I'll be here next week? If it's your life, you should be able to say that because you are the one, you know, remote and control your life. And that's why when I say, I will see you next week, I say, by the grace of God. Because the life is not yours. I'm not going to see you next week because you are young. The young are died. I'm not going to see you next week, you know, because you know how to drive safely. Mo mo ko wa baje. License mi A grade ni. E ti rental park is inu oko re ti trailer wa ba nbe ni. The Yoruba say you don't live in your house and then break your neck. I say in those days, go and look at your job before they started doing the road. Trailer will be coming all the way from top. It will go down, prrrrum, enter people's house. In their house. I was coming from my trip just last week. I saw one small trailer. He broke the fence. He has entered into somebody's house. Every one of us is living on a borrowed time. You better leave it for God. Because very soon it's going to ask you to give account of how you live the life. Number one, the entry point is Jesus. Number two, you are living on a borrowed time. The owner of your life is God, your maker. The owner. If I gave you my car to drive, and say, drive my car for 6 months and return my car. One of the things that you are trying to do, driving my car, is that you can return the car intact. You will not want the light to break. If it were your own car, sometimes you don't care. Do you know what I'm talking about? You don't care. It's my car. Nobody can have, nobody can, you know, I can't. It's my car. Toba wumi mole mo fo, bo wumi mole fo. I was driving a BM. Sometimes I wasn't washing it. It will always be dirty. And my girl in primary school or kindergarten, they say write an anthem or write a comprehension about your father's car. And he wrote everything. And he ended. He said, my father's car is always dirty. You understand that? He said, it's always dirty. Now, it's my car. Nobody drives it for me. I'm the one that enter it. I'm the one that come out of it. If my car is too dirty for you to enter, you know, go and carry your car. But if that car is not my car, I will wash it 6 times in a day. If the tire goes down in small like this, what will happen? I will get to the vulcanizer. Because the man that has borrowed me the car must not see that the car, the tire, you know, has gone down at all. That is your life. That is your life. It is not your life. He breathes life into you so that you can live his purpose. He breathed life unto you so that you can live his counsel. He breathed life into you so that you can live destiny. He didn't give you opportunity so that you can be reckless. He never gave you opportunity so that you can be wasteful. Some are wasting talents. Some are wasting purpose. Some are wasting call. Some are wasting their lives away. He's going to ask you. Let me give you the next point, ladies and gentlemen. One critical thing that the Lord requires from you, or two, but in one, listen to this. God expects productivity and accountability from your life. See through all the scriptures, the man with five, the man with two, the man with one, the issues God was having with them is productivity. And so the man with five said, I multiplied it. The man with two said, I multiplied. What God upset with the one with one was he did not do anything with the talent. He said, if you are not even going to multiply it, at least you can put it in bank and become a people with interest. That shows that all the time, and I put my whole in capital letter, and I underline it all the time, what God expects from a believer is productivity. All the time. Genesis 1:28, what did he say? When he created man, he blessed the man. He said, man should be fruitful. He said, man should multiply. He said, man should replenish. In time, God expects productivity. And so you become an unprofitable servant if you are not productive. And the greatest question you need to answer this morning, what are you living for? If you have nothing you are living for, then you fall for anything. Whatever they bring, you know, to your face is what you will take. Because there's nothing you are living for. There's no purpose. There's no direction. There's no light. You know, there's nothing. There's no action. There's no vision. You know, there's nothing about your life. And so whatever comes to your life, you bet to eat. And say, let's go and watch movie. You are ready to watch movie. Let's say, let's go and watch football. You are ready to watch football. Let's say, let's go to party. You are ready to go because you think I can't only. So I'm talking about go abroad. I say, let's travel abroad. Yes, I'm traveling abroad. There's nothing you are running after here. So only tago bonka. Some people even have sold their destiny to travel abroad because there's nothing they are living for. There's nothing they are looking to. There's nothing there's nothing that they are weeding. There's nothing they are putting fertilizer. There's nothing. And so they can just change direction anytime. You know what the Bible says about the people of Israel? The Bible says they sat down to eat and they rose to play. That's the life of some believers. Sitting down to eat. Rising up to play. Sitting down to eat. Rising up to play. And one day, the master will come and say, oh boy, can I see productivity? And not only that, God will expect accountability from all of us. Accountability. There's another parable that he told in the book of Matthew. Let me see if I can get to that place very quickly. Matthew chapter 21, verse 41. We'll not read the whole parable, but you can, you know, at your leisure, that I just want to read this so you can know that God is particular, you know, about accountability. Matthew 21, verse 41. You know, okay, 33. Here, another parable, there was a certain household that which planted a vineyard and hedged it around about and did the wine press in it and built a tower and led it out to husbandmen and went into a far country, led it out to husbandmen and went into the country. In other words, he has a vineyard he gave to people to nurture, you know, to monitor. And when the time of the fruit drew near, he sent his servant to the husbandmen that he might receive the fruit of it. And the husbandmen took his servant and beat one. Do you understand that? They leased them. the vineyard, and they say, "Oh, we'll rent it ito." You understand that? And they beat them. And the husband man took the servant and beat one and killed another and stole another. And he sent another servant more than the first time. Now he said, "Let me get more people to go." And they did unto them likewise. Do you understand that? When Yawanile was the Jigba. Do you get that? And so they beat them again. But last of all, he sent unto him his only begotten son. He said, "They will reference my son. I've been sending servant. But now, let me send my son. They should be able to respect my son." And the Bible says, when the husband men saw the son, they said among them, "Say, this is the heir. If we got the heir, then nobody will ask us again." You know the problem they're having here? Are you following me this morning? The problem they're having here is accountability. That's the problem. The greatest challenge of believer is somebody to ask you, "Where have you been?" The greatest challenge of a believer is somebody to ask you, "What have you been doing?" Nobody wanted to ask the question. You don't want to live your life. You want to go wherever you want to go. You want to do whatever you want to do. And so there's a conflict. If somebody says, "Why did you spend 4 hours there? I expected to spend 2 hours." Then there's a problem. I say, "Pastor Tiburuju. Pastor Tileju." I said, "Look, we're here for medical outreach yesterday. Where were you?" I say, "Ko kami ni ko kami. Kini o kambe. Amu e yafaye mo fu Jesu." Walade. The same thing is what is happening here. He was the one that has the vineyard. And he leaves it to people. "Keep it for me." And he's now saying, "Okay, let me begin to have our best." And they started killing the people. Believers, we do that sometimes. We keep people with our mouth. I said, "Why haven't you come for Riaza?" He said, "I don't have Riaza. I don't have money to come. I don't have money." You understand? You kill the person asking you questions. Jimmy, you are the one that you say have talent. I said, "Let's see the talent that you have. Let's see the talent that you have." I said, "Come and take prayer meeting." He said, "Excuse me, sir, I'm very busy." You continue to be busy. And the Bible says here, they saw the son and they said, "This is the heir. Come, let us kill him and let us seize on his inheritance. Let's seize on his inheritance." In other words, let's take that which does not belong to us so that nobody will continue to ask us questions. The problem here is asking questions. They didn't want to be responsible. They didn't want to be submissive. Yet, the vine branch or the vineyard was not their home. And they caught him, verse 30, and cast him out of the vineyard and slew him. When the Lord, therefore, of the vineyard cometh, what will he do unto those husbandmen? You need to answer that. If we miserable destroy those wicked men, and we let out his vineyard unto other husbandmen. Now, mark this in your Bible. We shall render. That's accountability. That's the problem we all have. We shall render. May God never replace you. That's what the Bible is saying. He said, what is he going to do? Now, look at that. Look at that. And look at me, ladies and gentlemen. You know, the Bible is not saying here that the man is going to destroy that vineyard. He said he's going to cast those husbandmen out. And then he will bring new husbandmen. Whether you want to listen to this morning or not, God replaces people. With all their talents, with all that they have, God can replace people. And you know why he's replacing people here? Accountability. Let me put it in another way. The hallmark of faithfulness is accountability and productivity. Because when God was saying, you know, to 5 that multiply 5, to 2 that multiply 2, he said, "You have been faithful." So in other words, God judged faithfulness by productivity and accountability. So wherever there's no productivity and accountability, there's no faithfulness. That's what the Bible is saying. Let me begin to round up by saying, number one, how can you make your life count? Number one, serving. How do you make your life count? Number one, serving. Serving. Listen. Until you offer yourself for service, you will not know the dimension of the talent and the gift that is in you. Until. When God said, Master said, say, I'll give you five. And then the man ran out, went to trade with the five. When he said, I'm giving you two. So in other words, the gift is in you, but it's service that will reveal the extent of the gift that you have. It is service. And let me add to that to say this, that God has put in you talents according to the ability that he has given you, not according to the ability that you have. I hope you got that. Because that's the problem in service sometimes. Somebody wants to serve God based on his ability. But you need to serve God based on the ability that God has given you. And that's why in serving the Lord, you depend on his grace. Because you know, last week I said to you that the master owns the servant. You know, I'm talking about, I'm not talking about child-father relationship. I'm talking about master-slave, master-servant relationship. And so the gift that you have is owned by the master. You yourself is owned by the master. And so there's nothing that you have that is yours. Somebody said, I don't want to say. That's why I thank God for my sister. She sang. Whether equipment, be told man calling, I want equipment, but you buy law. The other side can say, no, church, yeah. I want key cutting son, umbe. Emma bone, me je, Emma bone, me je, Emma bone, me je. We have people that have done like that, oh, yeah, that's ibaje. Because if you're following from what I said, the master holds the talents. Okay, so wall of ebaje. The master even own you. Hey, get the meaning. He owns you. He owns the talent. He owns the lease that you have. Pharaoh was somewhere. He was boasting. Do you understand? He said, we are the one that is in control. We are the one that has everything. Do you understand? Who is master? Who are talking about her talent? You are saying somebody has the least. No, he has seven. Me, I have hearts. Yeah. What the Bible says? The Bible says that he was eaten up by hands. Was eaten up by hands. And that's why we need to be careful. The best you can do with your life is to serve him. And that's what all those guys did. The best you can do with your talents is to use the talents. That's the best. You'll be cast into uttermost whatever. If God says, where's the talent? And you say, I buried it. Let me put it another way. Probably you haven't understood. The judgment of believer is not about judgment of you are going to hell, you are going to heaven. Mm-mm. The judgment of believer is how you use the talent God has given you. That's the judgment of believer. That's why unbelievers and believers are not going to stay on the same line. If you're a Christian, you're born again, you know Jesus, you serve him. So it's not about, you know, you go to hell. It's not about, do you understand that? Do you have Jesus? Mm-mm. Your own is about, you are born again. What did you use the talent? What did you use the grace? What did you use the call? What did you use the purpose for? That's the conversation you'll be having on the day of judgment. Woe betide a Christian that say, look, as you gave me agarrainly, so I'm returning it to you agarrainly. Woe betide you that day. As I'm very busy, you see. I know I have talent, but I'm very busy. Or some people have talent. They are using their talent before the world, before shall go, before the kings of this world. You are not using it for Christ. You have some people that can sing. They are Christians. You know, but they sing to make money everywhere. Do you understand? They never use their voice for Christ. Like I said last week about instrumentalists too. Emi omo instrument ilu omo kan mo kini ilu die die ni o instrument eti mo le lu gan tin ba lu fun yin gan o le ma gbe in the presence of God in worship. But some people you know those things, they understand, but you are trading your talent for profiteering. You are not trading your talent to expand the kingdom, to bring the glory of God to bear. If you think about yourself, you know, about your sustenance alone. No, that's not service. When you serve God with all that God has given you. You serve humanity with God has given you. Let me put it in another way. Your talent is supposed to bring people to Jesus. Full stop. That's service. Whatever God has given you is meant to bring people to Jesus. It's meant to turn people to Jesus. That is productivity divine. That's productivity divine. Number two, how you make your life count. I said number one, you need to serve the Lord. Number two, you need to be humble. You need to be humble. If you are not humble, your life can never count. If you are not humble, your life can never count. You know why? Because the Bible says, He give grace. He give grace. He give grace to the humble. And you need grace to be profitable. Ladies and gentlemen, we have business people here. Business folks, look at me. How many investment that you do? Oh, thank God, this man is an investor. How many investment that you do that you have 100% return? It's rare. Not even in this Nigeria. Nigeria, you trade with your money, it's dangerous. You put your money in a bank, it's dangerous. One bank now. The people that put their money there now, the money don't develop. Wing, it don't fly away. You know, the do you know? You understand that? So, is that what we are talking about? Even Nigeria with hostilities all around the world. But listen, when these people invested, he said, I return 100-fold. The two invested, I return 100-fold. You know why they were able to return 100-fold? The grace of God. The Bible talks about Isaac, he sowed in the land. He reap 100-fold. And the Lord blessed him. The blessing of the Lord came upon the talent. And that's why they're able to return 100-fold. Humility will cause grace to flow your way. People that have talents and have haughty spirit have destroyed their lives. As a matter of fact, when they brought even their talent before God, God turned his eyes away from them. Because they came with pride, with a haughty spirit. And God turned away from them. In trading, in investments, you must do that with humility of heart. So to make your life count, you must serve the Lord. To make your life count, you must live a humble life. It is critical to make your life count, not only with you, you know, serve the Lord, not only will you be humble. Number three, you must have a revelation of Jesus Christ. Do you know the problem with the guy with one talent? He did not know the master. Full stop. He didn't know the master. And that's why I was saying all things about master that were contrary to the master. There's no way you can make your life count when you don't have an encounter with him. When you don't have an understanding of who he is. When you don't have a picture of who God is. That was the problem with the guy. He said, you're a cheater. He said, you reap where you don't sow. Everything that God is not is what the man said God is. And that's why he did not trade. So you must seek on a daily basis to increase, expand, deepen your knowledge of God if you want to be profitable. If you want your life to matter, you must know him. You must know him because he's the one that has given you the lease. And so when you have a lease, common sense, you must know the terms and conditions, isn't it? You rented an apartment. There's no agreement. And then you pull down a wall. You say you want to start a school in the same compound. Then you begin to build blocks. You said, I want to have a penthouse. So when the owner comes, read the agreement now. They understand that. Is there anything in the agreement that you should put down the wall? And then we say to you, I give you quick notice. For your life to matter before him, listen to the word I'm going to use, you must acquaint yourself with God. For your life to matter, you must acquaint yourself with the master. You must have an understanding of the master. You must know how the master thinks. You must know the expectations of the master. You must know, do you understand, the rewarding process of the master. You must know what gets master upset. You must know what makes him to smile at you. That's when you are in the direction of making your life count. You serve him. You are humble. You know him. You desire to have him. And then let me give you two more. Number four, preach the gospel. Anyhow, the word must be preached. You know, I said to you, the judgment of productivity is the number of lives you turn to Jesus. And that's why the Bible says, only the wise that win souls. Fools don't win souls. That's in the book of Daniel. It's not my word. It said, the wise will win souls. Corollary, the fools will not win souls. When they say, come out, let's go for evangelism, the fools will stay away. The wise will come. And say, let's go and, you know, give pamphlets, you know, leaflets to people to come to church. The wise will come, the fools will stay away. And so let's go one-on-one evangelism. The wise will come, the fools will stay away. So when you say come, the people you see are the wise. The people that don't come. So you preach. For you to make your life count, you must preach. You must preach. How many of us can look into our lives and said, I have a child, 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 I have a child. Are you productive? Are you reproducing yourself? Or you are just coming to church? What mean? Okay, yeah, mak, hallelujah, repete. Jesus means she won't she, Oluwa means she won't she. I want you to hear your calling. I'm telling you that. The people that win souls shall shine like stars in the kingdom of their Father. So says the scriptures. The ones that win souls, they will shine. They will surely shine. Let me round up by giving you the last one, the fifth one, I suppose. To make your life count, you must be a worshiper.
to make your life count, you must be a worshiper. When the master appeared, the one with five recognized that the master has come. It's only a worshiper that will recognize that God is there. If you are not a worshiper, say, God is there. But and so God is saying something. You just be looking like this. Because you haven't moved from the level of acquitting yourself to the level of being a worshiper. If God will reckon with your living, will reckon with your life at all, you must learn to be a worshiper. That's why God accepted somebody's offering and God rejected somebody's offering. It's not about the offering, it's about the hearts. What is your heart in worshiping God? You know, there are some people, you do what you do because I don't want pastor to be offended. Some do what they do because I'm offering a worship to my God. But see something, nobody sees the heart intention. Nobody, the pastor does not see. The pastor will continue to say, thank you for your service. Thank you for your service. Because the pastor wants you to continue to serve. But you are the only one that knows the reason you are serving. You are the only one. I got some feedback. We are giving people free food. I understand some people will first for pack for themselves. And then, bamu bamu moyo. Do you understand? No, that's not the service of a worshiper. The service of a worshiper is a half first. The food is finished. Oh, praise God. It's not that we get upset. Do you understand? Hey, last week, for me. Hey, now, for me. You know, the life of a believer continues to give and give and give and give. Understand that forgetting about yourself. When you are doing the giving, God is filling you up. When you are doing the giving, God is filling you up. When you are doing the giving, God is filling you up. The moment you say, you complain and say, you stop your own source. As what happens, you stop your own source. God expects all of us to leave everything out for him. Empty yourself so that new wine can come in. What is it that you want to hold back? The things you got yourself? What is it that you want to hold back? The money that you have yourself? What is it that you want to hold back? Is it your whole life? Why are you holding back things that are not yours? You don't get it. Why are you holding back things that are not yours? Why are you sitting on things that are not yours? None belongs to you. Everything is by his grace, for his grace and to his grace. And you better let go. When you let go, it comes back and it fills you up. The greatest sacrifice that has been made, listen, and that will forever be made, is Jesus dying for us on the cross. And he's coming back very soon. And all of us will give accounts of how we spend our lives. Let me round up by saying to you what I said last week. For God to find you faithful, for you to enter into the race, you give your life to Jesus, and then the race will begin. Your purpose will begin. Your call will begin. And you are here this morning in this church. You just come every Sunday or possibly Tuesday, and there's nothing you are doing. That's not the way to make your life count. You need to do something. You must serve God. And I want to call on everybody before I pray. Everyone here that wants to do something for Jesus. After the service, see Bra Femi, see Sister Gbemi, you know, and see Bra Elijah. I say, I want to do something. I want to activate the prayer ministry. I want to activate the outreach ministry. I want to activate the hostring. We want to activate the print and publication media. We've activated the choir, but you still want to join the choir. Everybody that is there, don't just, after the service, don't just carry your cap. Great service, I'm blessed. No. See them. Write your name and say, this is where I want to go. You know, we profile later. But join something, do something. Even if there's something you know how to do that we haven't been doing, say, me, this is what I know how to do and I want to be doing. Write your name. That's your commitment. These 2 weeks, that's your commitment. And say, this is what I want to begin to do. The moment you bring that commitment, you find that grace will come upon you. Don't say, I'm not sure I will have time. I'm not sure I will have time. You give that commitment first. You find out that time will come. Time will come. Grace will come. Enable them will come. Ability will come. Give commitment first. Kill and lay. Kill and lay. Yoruba people said that this life are for waba. Fisile ni. Kill and lay. There was a senator. Condolences to the family and to the relations. 52. He did not die in Nigeria. To say, if in Nigeria now, they say, Nigeria medical system is bad. Hospital are just consulting clinic. When the owner of the lease, when it comes, the rich will not be able to do anything. The poor will not be able to do anything. The average will not be able to do anything. You know, the excellent will not be able to tolomba debai toni mofegba. Owo failini. Connection failini. He's a sitting senator. He's not a senator of yesterday. Toni owo etitan. He's a sitting one. Toni go 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 tam 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 tam. What can jewo? What can jewo? He has the money. So, what are you talking about? Constituency allowance. But when that comes, Kosovo can come. So, 3 weeks ago, we lost one too. Condolences. But listen, these are happening so that you can learn. It's not for you to be saying, hey, medical Nigeria or that, medical Nigeria. You are missing the point. The point is, ikutongpa. That's what we should learn. It's not the Nigerian medical system is not good. Yeah, the doctor of Japa, the clinic of Japa, clinic. You are misplacing what God is getting you. God is calling your attention. Rafemi said he's an honorary, he's a politician. In recent times, you have sitting senators sitting a House of Rep dying. Israel. When you see them, they say it was in 9th assembly, 7th assembly. This one, go say 7th, can come on. I'm a law one, baby. And that's in line with the Bible. The Bible says the days that money faileth is there in the Bible. There will be days that money will fail. There are days that money is only God that does not fail. And God in you. Take decision for Jesus today. I've said enough. I don't want to say more than enough. For the wise to be wise. And for the fool to wake up. I hope the fool will not continue to be foolish this morning. Can you please bow down heads? Oh, thank you, Lord Jesus. Let me give a call for the benefit of the doubt. Just for the benefit of the doubt. If you are here this morning, you want to enter. You know, I thought the minimum qualification is salvation. And you want to enter into service. Please place your right hand over your chest. You want to enter.
It's not time to beg. Oh, I preach, I beg you. It's time for decision. It's time for decision. Thank you, my brother at the back. It's time for decision. It's time for decision. It's not time to beg. Oh, thank you, my brother. You are a wise man. You are a wise man. Some fools will be looking at their woman with you around. Thank you, my brother. That's another brother. That's another brother. You know? Some people go to you. Will you give your life? You're my B girlfriend there. Should I give my life? Girlfriend, you're my B, but should I give my life? You know? You understand that? It is about you, your life, your destiny, your call. Thank you, my brother. Thank you, my brother. Is there somebody else seated somewhere? It's a time to take decision. Lift the other hand. See if your hand is on your chest. Let me be clear. Raise up the other hand. Thank you, my brother. Thank you, my brother. Raise up the other hand. Raise up the other hand. One hand on your chest. Raise up the other hand. Raise up the other hand. Raise up the other hand. My brother here. My brother here. Lift up. Oh, thank you, my brother. Thank you, my brother. And somebody even is there. Thank you. These are wise men that have come to service. The fools will still be contemplating. The fools will be contemplating. Thank you, my brother. Thank you, my brother. Bye-bye, Beji, please. This brother here, you know, the brother beside you, his hand is on his chest. Raise up your, yes, yes, yes. He placed hand on, yes, Hey, boni. Ah. Hey, if Jesus shall call. I don't know if Jesus shall call. Run a party one law. You understand? It's not time to play. It's time for decision. Raise up the other hand. Raise up. If you put your hand on your chest and you are not about to raise the other hand, then you are not doing it at all. You are not doing it at all. You are not doing it at all. I want to see the other hand flying up, flying up, flying up, flying up, flying up. Oh, thank you. Thank you, my brother. Thank you, my brother. Thank you, my brother. These are gentlemen. They are gentlemen. Oh, thank you, my brother. Thank you, my brother. Oh, thank God for my life too, for being patient. For being patient. I was looking at the time. But I will look at the time again. We have four of them already. Is there the fifth person? Is there the fifth person? Is there the fifth? Is there the fifth? Is there the fifth? That's the essence. When we come to Jesus, and people come to Jesus like this, the Bible says there's a great joy and rejoicing. Great joy and rejoicing. Oh, glory to Jesus. I want the four of you to say this praise after me, wherever you're seated. Just repeat this prayer after me, saying, in the name of Jesus, I come to the Father. I believe in my heart and I confess with my mouth that Jesus is my Lord, is my Savior. I am born again. I have a new life from today. My past done with, my future secured. I receive the grace to walk this new life in Jesus' name. You said those prayers, come on, rise to your feet, church. Put your hands together for them. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Just rise to your feet. Let me give you a high five. Nothing to be ashamed of, my brother. Just come. Come, 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 come. Let me give you a high five. That's the best decision of your life. Thank you, my brother. That's the best decision. Thank you. This is the first brother that raised his hand. Just go and meet that man of God. He shares some talk with you. John, come and put your hands together for them. Put your hands together for them. That is life beginning. Oh, thank you, Jesus. I declare over your life that he is with you. He is in you. He is for you. He will win battles for you. He will win battles for you. You will not be disgraced because of the hand of the Lord upon you. Testimony awaits you. War shall be broken because of you. War shall be broken because of you. Limitation shall be lifted because of you. I declare it is your week in the name of Jesus. All things are made good for you. And I declare tomorrow is better. Thank you, Father God. We receive with thanksgiving. In Jesus' name we pray, and the people of God say, amen.